Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, on this day the Church begins a holy season of prayerful and penitential reflection. Our attention is especially directed to the holy sufferings and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. From ancient times, the season of Lent has been kept as a time of special devotion, self-denial, and humble repentance, born of a faithful heart that dwells confidently on His Word and draws from it light and hope. Let us pray that our dear Father in heaven, for the sake of His beloved Son, and in the power of His Holy Spirit, might richly bless this Lenten tide for us, so that we may come to Easter with glad hearts and keep the feast in sincerity and truth. O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
hear us.
God the Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Spare us, O Lord.
Be gracious to us.
Help us, O Lord.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter,
help us, good Lord.
In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment,
help us, good Lord.
We poor sinners implore you
to hear us, O Lord.
To prosper the preaching of your word, to bless our prayer and meditation, to strengthen and preserve us in the true faith, and to give heart to our sorrow and strength to our repentance.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To draw all to yourself, to bless those who are instructed in the faith, to watch over and console the poor, the sick, the distressed, the lonely, the forsaken, the abandoned, and all who stand in need of our prayers, to give abundant blessing to all works of mercy, and to have mercy on us all. To turn our hearts to you, to turn the hearts of our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God.
We implore you to hear us, Lord.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Grant us your peace.
O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy. Amen.
O God, you desire not the death of sinners, but rather that they turn from their wickedness and live. We implore you to have compassion on the frailty of our mortal nature, for we acknowledge that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. Mercifully pardon our sins, that we may obtain the promises you have laid up for those who are repentant. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may start coming forward. You are God. God.
Thus says the Lord, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of bondage.
You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet thy neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you despise nothing you have made, and forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create in us new and contrite hearts, that lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, we may receive from you full pardon and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for Ash Wednesday is from the book of the prophet Joel, the second chapter. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. The Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I am sending to you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit.
And a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity,
and cleanse me from my sin.
for I know my transgressions,
and my sin is ever before me.
Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight.
So that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment.
Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity,
and in sin did my mother conceive me.
Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being,
and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart.
Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean.
Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Let me hear joy and gladness.
Let the bones that you have broken rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins,
and blot out all my iniquities.
Create in me a clean heart, O God,
and renew my spirit within me.
Cast me not away from your presence,
and take not your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation,
and uphold me with a willing spirit.
Then I will teach transgressors your ways,
and sinners will return to you. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit,
a broken and contrite heart to God, you will not despise.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, the fifth and sixth chapters. Brothers, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time, I listened to you, and in a day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Return to the Lord your God.
For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the sixth chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. Jesus said, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who is saved by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world. Amen.
Thank you. grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. And when you fast, do not look gloomy. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is our text. You might recall that Jesus begins his earthly ministry by being baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. St. Matthew tells us that John the Baptist didn't want Jesus to be baptized, but thought it should be the other way around. Instead, Jesus said, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Jesus establishes right there that his entire ministry, beginning from his baptism all the way through to his cross and resurrection, is about fulfilling all righteousness. Filling up the righteousness that God demands and expects so that he can give that righteousness out to his people. Cover us, our sin, our death, with the righteousness that he himself has won. We also heard this year in the Epiphany season part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount where righteousness comes up again. He says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." He says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And he said, "I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." When I hear Jesus say that last statement, it seems to me that he is not just saying that we need to be as good or better than the scribes and the Pharisees, who had the greatest earthly righteousness of anyone in Jesus' day, but we need a righteousness of a different kind. The righteousness of the very Son of God. And now in the gospel reading today, Jesus says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before others, to be seen by them." He takes up the practice of righteousness, the outward acts that Jesus not only recommends, but expects his people to do. The three practices of giving to those in need, of praying for others, and of fasting before God. As I thought of those three practices, I was reminded that Jesus does not ask anything of his own people that he himself is unwilling first to do. Give to those who are in need, Jesus says. Now, it's true, I can't think of a scripture passage that mentions Jesus reaching into his deep pockets to give to those who are poor. He doesn't seem to have very deep pockets when it comes to earthly wealth. But there is a way in which Jesus is giving to those in need, constantly giving to those in need. He is giving of himself. Silver and gold he may not have, but what Jesus does have, he gives. When there are 5,000 needy people who are hungry, he takes the bread and he takes the fish. And he looks not inside himself, but rather to his Father in heaven to multiply the bread and the loaves, the bread and the fish to feed the people. When there are people who have earthly, physical needs, the blind, the lame, the sick, even those who are dead, Jesus is willing to reach out and touch them, that from his own life and body he may give them life and restoration. If Jesus is willing to give of himself in such a manner, how much more should we, as those who follow him, be ready and willing to give to those in need? Jesus also warns, and the scriptures warn, against the love of money, and giving to the needy is one way of fighting against that love. We are, I think, too attracted at times to what is flashy and what the world deems to be valuable. Jesus says, or St. Paul says, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And it is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many pangs. One way to fight against this love of money, the lust for gain and wealth and earthly security, is to hold it with open hands and to give to those who are in need. With the second practice, the practice of fasting, we recall how Jesus himself underwent a fast of 40 days in the wilderness. And not only was he willing to undergo that fast, but he at the same time underwent the temptations of the devil. Jesus, in the midst of that earthly physical weakness, confronted our enemy and overcame him. He did it not by eating or by drinking. He did it rather with the Word of God. And so we remember in this Lenten season as well that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We recall as well how our Lord, hanging upon the cross, made that statement, "I thirst." Our Lord, who underwent the bodily need that he might secure for us bodily redemption, that he might gain for us the victory as well over death. So let us beware of the temptation that has taken so many, the temptation that leads to destruction when we make our belly into our God, when we glory in our shame, and when we set our minds on earthly things. In this Lenten season, fight against the lusts that would seek to satisfy our earthly desires, knowing that our Lord set aside his desires that he might gain salvation for us. The third practice that Jesus teaches is the practice of prayer. He himself, of course, is the ultimate prayer. There's almost not a page of the Gospels in which you do not find Jesus praying for someone or something, communing with his Father in heaven. And especially so upon the cross, he prays, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He prays, my God, why have you forsaken me?" That lamentation over what he suffers. He prays, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When we enter into prayer, we are joining our Lord Jesus Christ, who is always at prayer for us. We are bringing our petitions for ourselves and for others to him. We are acknowledging our own need and our own weakness, humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that at the proper time he might exalt us. And so we are given these three practices: giving to the needy, fasting, and prayer. Not that we might gain righteousness by them or secure our salvation. That is already covered. It has been accomplished and won for us by Jesus. But that in doing these things, we might turn ourselves again from the things of this world, even things that are good and fine in themselves, and place our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And that at the same time, we also might see our neighbors and their needs, helping and supporting them, encouraging them, and praying for them. And so today we are again invited to take up these practices, following Jesus in his way, and most of all, recognizing and looking not to ourselves, but to him, and knowing that our source of life, our source of strength, the source of all that we need, is found in the one whom the Father himself has sent. For there is our treasure, and there we set our heart. And so, heed the call of St. Paul today. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. May God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, you desire not the death of a sinner, but rather that we would turn from our evil ways and live. Turn us again, O God of our salvation, and let your anger cease from us. Spare us from every evil to body and soul. Look graciously on your church and preserve the gospel among us. Renew us in this penitential season to strive against the desires of the flesh, to grow in the joy of your salvation, and to look in love and service toward our neighbors, especially those of the household of faith. Look graciously on the families of our congregation. Defend your holy estate of marriage against every enemy that would divide. Strengthen parents for their duties, especially bringing up their children in the fear and instruction of the Lord, and preserve us all faithful to the end. Look graciously on our nation and its leaders, all civil servants, and those who protect us and work for the common good. Drive away all disease and fear from us. Grant peace, we pray, O Lord. Behold in mercy all who are sick, who suffer and who rejoice, and be with all expectant mothers, all whose labor is dangerous, the unemployed, those near death, and those who mourn. Give comfort to us who are dust and must return to dust, that a broken and contrite heart you will not despise. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to offer himself as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world. Trusting in his mercy, bring us in repentance and faith to your altar to eat his body and drink his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you. To the Lord our God.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Let us pray. Blessed Savior Jesus Christ, you have given yourself to us in this holy sacrament. Keep us in your faith and favor that we may live in you even as you live in us. May your body and blood preserve us in the true faith to life everlasting. Hear us for the sake of your name.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.